from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. 5 DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. It's time for the C-Block starring Corey Majors.
Thank you very much, Kevin. I really appreciate that. And I'm kind of curious, did you guys see the video of Luka and Jaylen Brown hugging after the game and what they said to each other?
I did not.
Reggie, have you seen this yet?
I didn't either, no.
Jaylen Brown hugs Luka, the handshake hug, obviously, and says, Luka, you're a killer. You got the best out of me. I love you, bro. And Luka said, I love you too, bro. And then they went
That's
on their ways.
Nice.
So there you go. He said, so he told him, well, you got the best out of me. Now Luka needs to take that home and be like, no, I'm going to get the best out of me now. That's what we need from Luka from here on.
I get you.
Is get the best out of himself.
All right.
By the way, we have taken a turn for the better. In the next segment, I do believe we're going to be doing a very interesting breakdown of current baseball players that are alive that used to play baseball.
But we weren't going to do better stuff before.
Right.
It was still going to be damn good. You'll probably get it tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. All right, so the C block is this segment where I'm asking you this question.
I did not already start it.
What are the greatest sports rally chants of all time? And I'll tell you why in just a few moments. Before we get to the greatest sports rally chants, and go ahead and text them in, 877-881-1053. It's an interactive show.
Boomba?
I said text them in.
Oh, yeah.
In just a few minutes, I don't know if I ever liked that one, by the way.
Hey, Reggie, I'm going to send you a text that's going to say, rally, rally. R-A-L-L-Y spells rally.
That's a lot of text.
I was just giving a heads up.
Okay, I appreciate that. I'll look out for it.
NFL.com has released their list of division rankings by quarterback, which everybody is always like, yes, this is how it goes. Kevin.
Oh, man.
Which group has the worst group of quarterbacks? Which division has the worst group of quarterbacks?
Gonna say,
I feel like we could have just kind of run with this for the last 6 years or so.
NFC South.
Nice.
Is the worst.
NFC South. Kirk Cousins, Bryce Young, Derek Carr, and Baker Mayfield.
Last
place. Which you would think Cousins would take that up just a little bit if he was so great. Or Derek Carr. Or even Baker.
Oh.
Like there've been, how many times have you seen people yell at me that Derek Carr and Baker Mayfield are better than I give them credit for?
Yeah, and some people will say better than Dak, and I'm like, okay.
Come on, man. Ooh. All right, number 7.
I might have a bold pick that I'm going to get crushed for, so I'm trying to debate whether or not I want to move away from that. You know what? The hell with it. I'm going to say the NFC West.
The NFC West is not. And I don't think you'll get crushed for that.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh. They're that high. All right. They are number two on the list, Kevin.
Nonsense.
Really? Number two.
Number two. Kyler Murray. I love Kyler Murray, but like can't win or stay healthy. Matthew Stafford, I pretty much think he's done. It seems like
Brock Purdy.
It still seems like people aren't sold that Brock Purdy is good. And what are we doing in Seattle?
You think it's this year again, Reggie?
We already passed that year.
What? Oh, that this would be the... No, he's already put it together. Yeah. It's already been put together
for four games and padded that out to an entire
season. This is weird to me that they have it that high. They have the NFC West that high. They're putting a lot on Kyler, right?
It's a lot on Purdy there. Come on, really? Let's be honest.
Okay.
Preposterous.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense to me. Would you have another guess for number seven on this list?
No, I embarrassed myself on that one.
This is actually... This kind of is throwing me for a loop here. The AFC South... With C.J. Stroud.
Oh, face Stroud.
Anthony Richardson, who knows on him. Trevor Lawrence, who it's Mike's about to give up.
And is it Will Levis?
And Will Levis. Out?
Okay.
And I think that's probably wise. You have a lot of maybe, who knows? And I think that not having any proven, and I think the closest thing that you have to proven is the rookie year of C.J. Stroud. I think that that's probably what's making this happen.
Okay, so that's interesting to me because I kind of just took the rookie year from C.J. Man, I should probably... Aren't put a Stroud, governor on
okay.
it.
Okay.
Yeah. With Stroud, I'm so like, I'm oh my gosh. I am too.
I'm with you as well, but I'm saying if somebody wanted to doubt that, that is an avenue for you to go. Yeah, that's 1 year and it's a rookie year, and what happens if the tape is out on him or what have you?
I would completely flip 6-2 right now with this.
Hell yeah.
Who do you think number six is?
They said the NFC East.
The NFC North. Is number six with unproven Caleb Williams. I get that.
Yeah.
But Jared Goff and Jordan Love proved to me enough last year.
Jared Goff is a good quarterback that nobody seems to think is very good.
It doesn't make any
sense. I guess the Lions do. They gave him money.
I think because Sean McVay gave up on him and then he wins a Super Bowl with Matt Stafford. Like that changes a lot. Everybody's like, oh, okay. Obviously the problem was Jared Goff.
I think we're also bad at acknowledging good, not great. Like it feels like everything is binary where you're either great or you're terrible, especially when we're talking about quarterback play.
I don't know anybody like that.
The Jordan Love conversation, though, when you said C.J. Stroud, and we're really high on him, Jordan Love's first season, did we look at it and go, man, that was a wild success? He beat the Cowboys in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think he's really good.
Wild success for him. Right.
Now I say East.
Number five, NFC East. That is true. The likes of Dak Prescott, not enough to carry Daniel Jones and Drew Locke and Jaden Daniels and Marcus Mariota and Jalen Hurts.
Jalen Hurts is...
But Jalen Hurts fell back this year, right? Yeah,
absolutely.
Had a great year 2 years ago. This past season reverted a little bit to kind of what we really thought he was. And I'm curious with Saquon Barkley in the mix if he becomes an even better quarterback because of what he can do in the short passing game.
So does that mean the rest of the top four outside of their fraudulent number two pick are all AFC East, AFC divisions?
AFC divisions from there. Number four, Kevin.
But isn't that what we've kind of talked about is that the AFC has all the quarterbacks?
Yes, they do. They do
I'm
have
more offended
all the quarterbacks.
That who they put at second than the rest of it.
And they have all the quarterbacks, but they only have the one that matters. You know, they have a stack of quarterbacks in that division, in that conference.
Yeah.
But the one that matters is Patrick Mahomes, and he keeps beating all of the ones in that one, which is why Tom Brady left the AFC to go to the NFC because he knew he couldn't win enough games against him.
And then it happened.
AFC, Josh Allen, Tua, Jacoby Brissett, and Drake May, and Aaron Rodgers, which Aaron Rodgers has a great Aaron Rodgers year that changes things, but I'm more likely to say that he's on the outs than he is on the ups. Number three would be the AFC West with
that makes sense.
The one quarterback that matters.
Yeah.
But so, Justin Herbert,
Aiden O'Connell is number one.
Huh? What'd you say?
Aiden O'Connell, the one quarterback that matters, right?
Yeah. Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew, that combination there in Vegas is going to be the one. But hold on. Are you making the bold prediction now about Aiden O'Connell's season?
Don't do it.
No, absolutely not.
Okay, all right. Bo Nix and Jarrett Stidham. And yes, Kevin, at number one, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Russell Wilson / Justin Fields, and Deshaun Watson.
Man, I have a sweet autographed rookie card of Bo Nix. If he could take off in the world, I'd be okay with that.
You'd be all right with that?
Yeah.
All right, so Kevin, I'm looking at the way the College World Series is rocking right now.
Let's go!
I might have to take it back on this one, but Currently, Florida is up 15-4 on Kentucky.
Is that good?
That for Florida, yes, it's really good.
I just want this game to be really long, and it's already been really long, so I support this.
It's okay, so explain what happens if Florida wins. They play A&M at 6 tonight?
They play A&M, theoretically, at 6 o'clock. Though if the game goes too much further, it's going to push off track the Tennessee and Florida State game. This will then push off track the Texas A&M and Florida game. So Florida has to play twice today, assuming they win and they're ahead by 11 runs. So it's a double elimination. Florida has to play Texas A&M again tonight. If Florida wins, then they have to play Texas A&M again tomorrow.
Okay.
All A&M has to do is win tonight, and then they're in the College World Series final. Same deal, afternoon game, Tennessee and Florida State. If Tennessee wins, in the final. If they don't, they play again tomorrow.
All right. I feel like, you know, a lot of people are hot on Tennessee, but here's what I'm going to do, Kevin.
Tennessee's been awesome all year.
I am predicting a College World Series championship between A&M and Florida State this year.
Oh.
And I think the rallying cry is going to be for Jimbo. And I think it's going to be "do it for Jimbo" is going
to
be the rallying cry from the Florida State side, because they're upset at how Jimbo Fisher was treated by the A&M family, mm-hmm. and just dismissed the way that he was.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still, look, they still love him. They still
Does
love
upset him. Upset mean something different than I think it means?
No. I'm pretty sure that this potentially factual statement is what's going to happen, as they're going to rally for Jimbo. So Kevin and Reggie, the greatest rallying cries in the history of sports. Give me all of your thoughts.
Remember the Alamo.
That's, well, and I understand that there's a lot of controversy behind how things went down there.
Because we forgot the Alamo?
Well,
never forget. I think there it's
parts of it we forgot that we don't understand what Remember the Alamo stands for.
I believe.
Oh, that one stinks.
I believe that we will win. I believe that we will win.
You don't love that?
That arrhythmic ass. You know, get out of here.
Wow, so we're not judging content, just the beat.
Well, I mean, even the
lyrical content.
Even the content. Like, it feels like you're having to gas yourself up to believe in your team. Which, honestly, is that the place that you want to be?
What are the best countries? What are theirs? Do they have an "I believe we'll win"? Or do they just go out there and play? What's the difference?
I mean, some of them say really nasty things to other teams, so I don't know how...
That's a good point.
From the down here,
from the 214, no days off. No, and you, how many times do you tell yourself "no days off" in your brain whenever you want to quit at something? Because I use it now. I actually do. No days off, Corey.
I actually take the standards of one of my favorite local teams, and I'm like, hey, some days we work,
some days on. From the 469, O'Day. That was great when Darren O'Day was here. It was a great time.
Mean-spirited question. Did Mike check out on this segment too? No.
No.
He left for the Rangers broadcast.
From the 817, El Bombi. That's El Bombi is always a fun one.
If we're going to go with that rhythm, mine was, and you see this more at the high school level, was start the bus. When you're just whipping that ass as the home team.
That's what they're saying.
And the road bus.
Yeah.
Warm up. Yeah, that one's fun.
What about it. Overrated?
Classic.
Stupid.
Very
we've
classic.
We've gotten to a point where we don't use it. Like, you have to utilize in the right times, but it's classic.
Never does. Makes no sense to me. You just beat the number one team in the country, and they're chanting overrated. Unless you're second, be quiet. Don't say that, because then it diminishes the value of the win that you just picked up. That's a nonsense chant.
Along the lines of the warm up the bus is the na 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 na.
Na 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 na.
Hey, hey, hey. Goodbye.
And then we would play the song and band, and the drums would hit. Pop, pop, ba, da, 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 da. It was awesome.
Do you think anyone's ever broken up with somebody by being like, hey, and then they start singing that song?
No, 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 no.
You don't think no one in the history of the world?
You can ask the texters if you want to.
I mean, they're all going to say, I did it.
Tell Kevin he's wrong.
I predict right at least one time in the history of the world, somebody's been like, hey, you know that song?
Or just started playing it.
Singing
just it. Put it on the record player.
Yes.
Why are you playing this song right now?
Because we're done.
We're done. Kevin, I need your help on this one. I saw this on a website.
Uh-huh.
You let the whole team down? Is that a Duke chant?
Oh, man. I thought we just slapped the floor and sometimes tripped people. I don't know that you let the whole team
down. We got to look into that one just a little bit. We got to look at, what about push it? Whenever everybody yells, push it, push it.
But what are they really saying, Reggie?
They would like the team to push the pace.
No.
You know?
No, incorrect.
Get up and down the
floor.
And
I think it's nice that you said push it, because nobody says that either. They use the elongated version of BS and they move their arms back and forth as if they're saying push it, but they are most certainly saying BS.
Dude, somebody texted in best rally chant of all time, ball five, Texas A&M.
Yes, and that then gets it just in your keeps head, going. Man. And then if you throw another ball, they'll be like, ball six, and that's got to get in your brain.
It's overwhelming. And that being said, at A&M's field, is it Bluebell Stadium or something?
Yes.
At that park, they have a lot of different things that everybody, I mean, the cult of it all, you know, like the idea of that is they are, when a foul ball's hit, if it's rolling off the net, you whoop, pick it up. You know, there's all sorts of things going on throughout the entire game.
All right, this person didn't sing the song, but they said, I broke up with a girl once and then did this.
Slow clap to break up? They slow clap to break
that up? That is amazing.
Is it?
Have you Please ever... text back what happened next.
He's here, he's there, he's everywhere. Roy Kent. I know there's another line in there.
There's a lot of European soccer where they get into like their songs. Mm-hmm. Those ones are elite. Or someone pointed to like just like the Icelandic Viking clap.
Yes. Like, yeah. That is in terrifying. Unison.
Last Incredible. Month, I think it was, WWE had a pay-per-view in France and they have a phenomenal, and in the main event it was Cody Rhodes against phenomenal AJ Styles. And like every time he took control of the match, they all started like singing the phenomenal song. It was so loud for like 25 minutes.
Have you ever successfully started a slow clap?
Ooh,
I'm not the type of person that starts a slow clap.
Oh, really? I don't know that I've ever had that or known the right opportunity to start it.
It takes quite a boldness to be like, I'm going to get all these, like, I'm going to get this 10 to 20,000 people to come follow behind me, right? Like, I'm just going to, y'all.
See, and that's why I can't do it.
Get in behind what I do.
That's why I can't do it, because I would want it to be in a sarcastic situation.
Yes,
me too. I would not want it to be inspirational. Somebody brought this up. I'm really glad they did. So sometimes at my house, if we're watching, or if I'm watching with Brandon or whatever, we'll be like, wrestling, because I would take him, hold on, I would take him
That's
to wrestling events.
I don't know what you're doing.
And people would say, holy S. And I didn't want Brandon at those young ages to be chanting that. So we would be like, wrestling. But somebody brought up the holy S chant on there.
I'm pretty impressed with you, man.
Thanks.
Dude,
I'm surprised you didn't bring up the wrestling chant, you suck.
Man, I'll tell you off air some ECW chants that are definitely
If you would like to hear that off air conversation.
Sorry.
Come see us at a remote and I'll definitely tell you. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we talked about it earlier. We talked with Bochy about it. Willie Mays passes away, so now we ask the question. He's held the title for a really long time. Who is the greatest living baseball player? Not necessarily active, but greatest living baseball player. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
Right to deep left center field. This one's got a chance. It's gone. It's a home run. Number 599 of Mays' career.
Kind of feel like we would have gotten a little bit more enthusiasm from the broadcaster right there. But we're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. And right now, I've already seen multiple texts for people saying this is the only acceptable answer. Willie Mays died at the age of 93. Who does that leave as the greatest living baseball player? Not necessarily active, of course, but the greatest living baseball player.
This is a fascinating question because it kind of depends on how you stand on Barry Bonds.
Yeah.
Because Kevin, I think I heard the other day you take all of his MVP seasons out and he still has numbers that just surpass people and so many other things from Barry Bonds' MVP seasons, when he was the best.
Yeah.
But you know, and then you take the half of his career where you're like, okay, this is where we assume he started doing steroids.
Sure.
And all the things that he did before that, he was still spectacular. And so, and Mike, you know, Mike consistently says that about him prior. He was going to be an all-time Hall of Famer before. He just wanted to be the best of all time. So it kind of depends on where you leave that there.
I'm just going to throw out a whole bunch of the votes thus far and just see if we key in on a theme. From the 817, it was and still is Pete Rose. Wow. I think you can make a really strong argument Willie Mays is the best or second or was the best or second best player in baseball history. From the 817, Pudge. From the 214, Bonds. From the another 214, Sandy Koufax. From the 214 and 469, Nolan Ryan. From the 214, Ricky Henderson. Multiple votes for Ken Griffey Jr. from the 469. And no, Ted Williams' frozen head doesn't count because
no.
We had this conversation.
Yes.
And I didn't ask Bruce Bochy.
I still have lots of questions about the payment of, like, why is it still?
I don't know.
Did he pay up front? And they That's were just like, question. We didn't know cryo was going to explode like this. All right. So here's Kevin, a list that was made last year.
That's a great question.
A list that was made last year by Chris Klemmer. He made this top 10 list. So, but again, Willie Mays was number one on the list. And I'm very fascinated at your conversation that Willie Mays, the number two all time. I want to maybe even dive in on more on that. But here's what the list looked like. So just slide everybody one spot up. Mike Trout at number 10.
Okay.
Which I thought was kind of fascinating.
I think that's low.
He's currently playing, and then last year they put him there. I don't know how much more he can do if he's not going to be healthy again, though.
I think he could be top five now.
Number nine, Sandy Koufax.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Number eight, and you may have left him off your list, Roger Clemens.
Look, I just that's a personal bias for me. I didn't like Roger Clemens because he always used the Texas Rangers to get money from some other team, but also he was a cheater.
And I don't know exactly when he started cheating compared to, you know, when he wasn't. I don't know when that was. His numbers are insane.
And you're right. That's the tough part for me when you, like, you brought up Sandy Koufax. Sandy Koufax is a great example, and that's why it's so difficult to me. Sandy Koufax pitched for, I think it was 11 or 12 years. Well, if he could have cheated like Roger Clemens, what would he have done after that? He was a World Series MVP twice, won the Triple Crown in pitching three of his last four seasons in baseball. So if he could have cheated like Clemens, then who knows what he would have done.
But that being said, Roger, when do you presume? Was it in New York? Was it in Houston?
No, it was in Toronto.
It was in Toronto? Okay, so he's 34 years old. He had one Cy Young and an MVP. He had three Cy Youngs before he got to Toronto and an MVP to go along with it. And he's top three in MVP voting twice, top three in, And then he's in there for Cy Young voting every single year. He was dominant even before he did that.
No, I get that. But then that's where I look at Koufax, who had his own three Cy Youngs, won four World Series, won an NL MVP. He won an MVP as well. So very comparable right there.
Again, going through this list here, Willie Mays on this list is number one. Yep. So Ricky Henderson is number seven.
Okay.
Number six, which I thought this is interesting because another list I found had this guy at like 20, and I thought this was insane.
Just for the record, I have Trout above Clemens.
And Ricky?
Henderson. And I'm going to have to think about Sandy Koufax.
Ken Griffey Jr. at number six.
Yeah, that feels low too. I would have thought he'd be really high. I'm really curious like if Pedro is in the top of this list and Maddox and all. Okay.
Randy Johnson at number five. You hate Randy Johnson.
No.
He just shook that off like he had called a curveball when he wanted to throw a fastball.
Yeah,
his
sorry.
Eyes winced up and everything, and look, he gave you the
You can make a really strong argument. It's for partially the same reasons as Roger Clemens for using the Texas Rangers all these years. I just think I would put Griffey ahead of Randy Johnson.
So I almost feel bad for Randy Johnson because, like, there's a lot of accolades, and I don't remember not a single one because he killed that one bird that one time.
Yes.
Like, that's really...
Yes. Yeah.
So I presume that that's part of your hatred too, is because you're a huge animal activist.
It's not as much down the avian route.
Okay, gotcha.
Oh, wow.
I just Look, he didn't do it.
Birds aren't real. Mammals.
He didn't do it on purpose. He didn't know that bird was going to fly by at literally the exact perfect time.
What if you found out, though, that he was like
always
hated
birds? You know what? I already have him below Trout and Ken Griffey, so Ken Griffey Jr. So there you go.
I cannot believe that. All right. Number four is Greg Maddux.
I hate it. personal bias. Pedro Martinez was great. I think Greg Maddux was better, but this list disagrees.
Number three is Barry Bonds.
Fascinating.
And they have number two as Pedro Martinez. So if you took this list and just slid everybody up, they would say Pedro is the greatest active or greatest living for a baseball player.
Here's a couple of names that I wanted to throw out there. Then I wanted to ask you, if we were talking about cheating and everything like that, do you automatically mark A-Rod off the list?
No.
No, you do not automatically mark him off the list?
If we're talking about cheating as in...
No. Like, do you take him off the list because of the cheating?
Oh, probably sometimes I do. But if I'm looking at this list, I have to include A-Rod.
Okay.
And so now that's what I'm saying is he would go in as my 10th or maybe even a little higher. I'm kind of interested that he's not on this list.
And then what about Mike Schmidt and Pete Rose? Those are the other two people that I thought of that I feel like would at least be in the conversation. I'm not saying they're number one. I think if you want to argue Barry Bonds, of course, or Pedro or Maddux or Griffey or hell, probably even Trout, I would be open to listening to all of those arguments.
Another list I have, Kevin, has Bonds 1, Mays 2, Clemens 3, Randy Johnson 4, and then A-Rod 5, and Mike Schmidt 6. And so, like that's in Maddux 7. They have Trout pretty low. Actually, no, they have Trout at 10 as well.
Okay.
I think making the top 10 and still being an active player, I think a lot of people are just like, let's just keep him here and then we'll renegotiate that conversation. And somebody did text in a moment ago and they were like, hey, like it's Shohei, right? At some point, it's going to be Shohei. And right now, Shohei's at the top of the list for everybody, but I don't know if Shohei's done enough yet. But even still, what he's done so far is pretty spectacular.
And then obviously Nolan Ryan is another one. Like, Lord knows I get dinged for having some fun about all of that. But I think Nolan Ryan should be on this list. Clemens is not on my list for, you know, my own probably biased reasons, but I think there's some other ones that could be in the mix. Ricky Henderson makes a lot of sense, but I'd have a couple of people above him.
Do you think you could, if you were in charge of voting for the Hall of Fame and you're the one, like you're the only vote, would you have left Randy Johnson out of the Hall of Fame because of your personal bias, Kevin?
No. Well, first of all, I would just give
them a lot of power.
I would just give them the ballots. I would be like, I'm in charge of voting. I don't actually get a vote. No, Randy Johnson is definitely a Hall of Famer. And then somebody just brought this up. I apologize if I don't know the answer to this. Why didn't you say anything about Ricky Henderson cheating? Was there I am unfamiliar if there was some semblance of steroid or otherwise scandal for Ricky Henderson. I'm not familiar.
Yeah, I don't know. I will look to see if I can find something, but I don't know that one. As much as I do know about things, I don't know this one.
Yeah, I don't think that Ricky Henderson, Ricky Henderson had a very particular, reputation for being self-centered in some ways. And some of that came from not even ego, but kind of self-doubt or things like that. But I don't think anybody ever looked at him as a cheater.
Yeah, I was unfamiliar with that accusation for sure.
I don't see anything in particular that's popped in here, but if you find out, let me know.
Somebody asked the question too, if Ohtani never pitches again, will he make the list? He's already a two-time MVP and he has a lot of prowess potential with his bat, so I think he could add to that for sure. If he
you think
never
he's gonna have another hitter
again,
another MVP as a hitter?
Yes, absolutely. I do, especially considering the team he's on. Absolutely.
Are they good? I mean, is it just him or are there more guys on
that
team? No,
so
that team's
David
the MVP.
David Robertson became a legend on back-to-back nights for striking out three Hall of Famers back-to-back.
And if no other thing, Shohei Ohtani is indeed a legend at the bank. So
yeah, he is. From the 214, Bugs Bunny, he would strike out batters with one pitch alone.
Yeah, the whole lineup just struck out with one pitch.
And he caught that one on the top of the building.
Did that ever just feel like poor umpiring?
Well, he was the umpire.
That's Yeah, that's not fair.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, you got to take that up with the governing body. That's not Bugs' fault. You do what you got to do.
He was just playing within the rules.
All right, well, I guess I'll look into that. I don't know. I feel like we end so many of these segments with some weird thing that I'm supposed to go read more about than I probably
Hey, don't give away the secret sauce, all right? Calm down.
Look, this is a learning show.
We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we will chit-chat with the G-Bag Nation and ask the question, have you been celebrating this anniversary today? We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Ball dropped it behind the net. Jidnik in on McDaniel. McDaniel can't move on it. Now he does. The shot, passing down. Rebound, score! Mike McDaniel with Dennis, with Brett Hull. And the Stanley Cup has been won on a quick shot. McDaniel first, not in. And Brett Hull rammed it home.
25 years ago today, Brett Hull made the very legal goal against the Buffalo Sabres to win the Stanley Cup, the only Stanley Cup for the Dallas Stars.
Why did you say very legal?
Like, I wanted everybody to know.
Most aren't goals.
Tom Brady gets to keep his 2001 season Super Bowl, then we damn sure get to keep our Stanley Cup.
Why don't you say very legal 2001 Super Bowl all the time for him then? What do you need to say very legal every time you refer to somebody's
slow down our show?
Okay, all right.
That's a fair point though. Did you guys realize it was 25 years since the Stars won the Stanley Cup? Have you been celebrating?
I didn't realize until I started show prep this morning, and then I saw the article in the morning news, and I was like, damn, 25 years, and we've been knocking on the door, back-to-back conference finals appearances, the Bubble Cup finals appearance. Hopefully, we're able to snap that 25-year drought, get another Stanley Cup here, maybe as soon as this coming season. But I haven't been celebrating yet. Maybe I'll have to pop some bottles when I get home tonight.
It's been as long as that game took.
Yeah, that was a long game.
Triple overtime?
Yes.
Triple overtime. Let me ask you guys something. You can help me out with my show prep. What percentage of the people you've ever kissed do you know remember their names?
What percentage?
100%.
100%.
100%?
100%.
100%.
I'm going to quiz you on that later.
How? You won't know the answer?
I know, but
I don't know all the people
because
I've
kissed. I'll be able to see the look in your face, and you'll be like, what was that girl's name?
Yeah. I've only kissed one woman my entire life.
That is
so
such a 100%. Lie.
Now, to answer your first question, I didn't get to celebrate the 25 years because I started getting depressed as soon as I realized 1999 was 25 years ago, which explains why I can also probably remember 40 or 45% of names. Yeah.
Can I make it worse then? No, the distance between now and 1999 is the same as the distance between 1999 and 1974.
Yeah.
So just like.
Yeah.
It does suck.
Yeah.
All right, Eric, what percentage?
Probably, well above 50%. Dawson's sitting at 40, 45. I'd probably be sitting at about 75 to 80.
Wolchek, what about you?
Probably 65%.
See, you can't do 100. You're counting them right now. Not you, Wolchek.
Thank you. All right. I'm trying to be honest here. I mean, there was a lot of drunken nights in college.
Okay. Good, good, good. Now, as Corey
just
works
one spring break. Really.
This, you've got a couple of days.
I thought it was fall break for a second.
You've got a couple of days to figure this out. And one of the things that we talked about going into the offseason for the Mavericks, if you could pull off a trade for Davis Bertans, do you just look at this front office and be like, they can figure out anything? Whether it's if you want to get rid of Kleba or Hardaway or whatever, find out a way to get below the luxury tax and mid-level it. It feels like they can do a lot of things.
Yes, yeah. Even signing a guy in free agency and then just months later flipping and getting great value.
I need to include Grant Williams in that. That is pretty impressive.
Like, that's super impressive. So, yes, I'm with you on that. I think that it's difficult. Now, everything about the sport is more difficult and how you can try to pull off transactions. Like, this is the first offseason where the new CBA agreement really comes into effect. So how does that alter things? It certainly makes everything more challenging. So, but I'm not going to put anything past these guys to, because it's not like you need to swing for the fences. You don't need a Luka. You already have all that. You're just trying to iron out and fine tune the details to become instead of just a Western Conference champion, an NBA champion.
Just a Jeremy Grant away. I'm going ahead and being NBA champs.
Okay, so is that your guy? Because
right
you
now.
Started throwing out all kinds of
yeah,
names.
Yeah, Jeremy Grant's probably my dream target. If they were able to make anything crazy happen, I'd love to. We talked about him going out of the trade deadline. I think he's a perfect fit. But, yeah, yesterday we were kicking the tires around, like, if you lose Derrick Jones Jr., how crushing is that? And it is. He is your best on-ball defender. He's absolutely fantastic. But I can't put it past Nico to not find the next Derrick Jones Jr., even what he did in the draft last year. You get the 10th pick, you turn that into two picks. With you move back, you get Derek Lively, who ends up being maybe the second best player in the draft last year when it's all said and done behind Wemby. Maybe he ends up being better than Wemby. You never know. Sky's the limit, right?
That's
for
right.
For Derek Lively.
Maybe even beyond the sky.
And then what's Omax going to give you going into year two? Does he end up being a guy that plays more of an impressive role?
Yeah.
I do have a lot of faith in this front office. Might take him some time. I don't think you can force these things. But Yeah. And teams that are wanting to rebuild, those are the kind of teams that agents make things happen with, because agents and players still control the league. And if a player really wants to go somewhere and contend, the agent's like, hey, you got to do this for me and I'm going to take care of you in the future. I've already taken care of you. But things like that happen to get players to contenders. So for a variety of reasons, I think, Kleba, Tim Hardaway Jr., pick 58 or whatever they have, these are interesting assets. And I wouldn't put anything past Nico.
I think one of the things that I trust the most about Nico right now is his ability to identify the type of player they want that he thinks, like, Christian Wood was the perfect build. That was what you wanted, right? A guy that
I thought
that
it was going to work.
That could be a really good, talented player along with him. You knew the problems did pop up, but they identified guys that we didn't even have on our radar at all. That goes with your scouting and making sure you have those people to know who these guys are. But getting PJ Washington when he wasn't on anybody's radar, getting Gafford when he wasn't on anybody's radar, Derrick Jones Jr., nobody was thinking he was going to be anything different than he's a guy on this team, and even Exum, and how many times he gave those. So his ability to identify players and see how they fit into their system and see how they fit with Kidd is very interesting to me.
Since you brought up Exum, I'm assuming the answer is yes, but if it's not, I definitely want to have that conversation. Exum's $3.1 million gets guaranteed in about 10 days. The next day, Hardy's $2 million gets guaranteed
we want to guarantee both of those and keep them. Yes.
Yes, those are those contracts are so small, and I think those guys have, especially in Hardy, have the potential to bring much bigger value. So I would say yes to both of those.
And then Broadus, if you're so interested, you do get College Day baseball today, as Florida State and Tennessee should be kicking off in maybe the next 30 minutes or so.
Yeah, and Tennessee's been a good team all year. All of course, year. Number one in the nation. I'm interested to see what Texas A&M is able to do. So, yeah, once again, this College World Series seems to be dominated over the years by teams from the SEC.
Yeah.
So the brand of baseball that they play in the Southeastern Conference is very good. But, man, you gotta think that that Tennessee, they're just on such a run right now, the way they went through the SEC tournament. But, hey, we'll see how things play out. Florida State's kind of a surprising team right now as well.
Yeah.
So
and they barely lost to Tennessee in that
first. Yeah, exactly. So we'll see how that all plays out.
Tennessee still dominating the Rocco's Jello Shot Challenge, though. The Aggies are number two.
Yeah, because we have those two drunken morons who said some really terrible stuff.
Yeah, they did.
Florida. What do you guys got coming up on the program? Hopefully more of that. What else do you have coming up on the program?
Pure Gold as always, Heggie. Thanks for asking. Tim Cato talking Mavs with him at 4 o'clock.
There you go. Will you also ask him about Jason Kidd rebuking him for his, quote, long-ass question?
Yeah, we'll probably have to replay that
okay.
for him.
Okay, good, good, good. All right, roll home with the G-Bag Nation. We have been the KNC Masterpiece. Make your way back with us tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Thank you, Kevin.
Good night, Kevin.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.